Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Now, as you can imagine, since we do not agree with a lot of the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that sometimes many Latter-day Saints can get very upset with us, and they want to express their frustration with us by sending us emails trying to correct us in what they feel are our misunderstandings. And that's fine. I'm glad when they do that. However, I would hope that when they do that, that they would try to engage in an intelligent conversation rather than just using the typical ad hominem and calling names. I recently received an email from an obviously very frustrated Latter-day Saint that wanted to correct me on my understanding of angels. And so he was going to demonstrate in this email that the Bible actually supports the notion that angels were once humans. In fact, the subject line of his email was, "Biblical support that angels were once men. Joseph Smith is a prophet. Learn your Bible, noob."
Noob, so, N-O-O-B. What in the world is
that, Bill? Well, that's a kind of a new phrase that basically some say that it's talking about people who think they know what they're talking about, but yet don't want to listen to anybody when they try to correct them, which I have to be quite honest. Well, you're going to see as we go along that I think this more describes this individual rather than us, because, you know, if I'm wrong in an area, I'm willing to look at it, but you've got to present a good case. I'm not just going to take it because a Mormon says it or a Mormon leader says it. I want to know what the facts really are saying on a particular issue. But this individual decided to set me straight, and he quotes Revelation 22, 8 and 9. And this is what he says in his email, quoting Revelation 22, 8 and 9. He says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things." Verse 9 says, "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Now that's the passages that he quotes, Revelation 22, 8 and 9. He then writes, "Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God, and he is an archangel now that opened the great and final dispensation equal to Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and John the Baptist, the six others. Beware of how your calumny condemns the things of God. Again, please learn your Bible and please stop being an ignorant, unlearned noob." Once again, he calls me a noob. Now, I responded to him on this, and I tried to be as nice as I could possibly be, and usually I'm very patient, at least the first round, but I wrote him back. And I very politely said to him, "You might want to look a little closer at that verse. The text is not at all implying that the angel is a brother of John. It is saying that the prophets are John's brethren. Like the prophets, this angel is also a servant." Again, you have to take the whole passage in context. Now, this is an area where I'll admit that the King James, and again, folks, I cut my teeth on the King James, and so I'm pretty familiar with the these and thous and oh wows and all that. But it's not implying what this gentleman thinks it's implying. And when we look at the Greek, we can see some clarity, especially as it comes across in other versions. So, for instance, why don't you read the New King James, Eric?
It says, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God."
Now notice the emphasis is on being a fellow servant. He's a fellow servant just like John's brethren, the prophets. But he's not implying that he's a brother of John or a brother of those said prophets.
It's a compound sentence. There's three different people being talked about. The angel says, I am a fellow servant. Then he refers to the prophets who are the brethren. And then he refers to those who keep the words of the book. Mm-hmm. So there's three different peoples that are being talked about. And the New King James is going off the same manuscripts as the King James. It just modernizes the English. A translation is only as good as its translators, taking the language of the day and pointing it into a way that people can understand. Because the way that in Revelation is written in Greek, the way that the Greek is in Revelation, you could have the subject at the very end of what looks like the sentence. And if you don't know how to do that, and the subject, and then comes the verb, and then comes the direct object and the indirect object, how to put all that together and make it say what it means, then you can get really lost. And unfortunately, it's not maybe quite as clear for this individual in the King James, but the New King James certainly
I was trying to get this across to him. I was trying to let him see that if we look at other translations. Now, I know the King James is the version of choice with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I understand that completely. Don't have a real problem with that. But I think, again, with any verse, we need to know what was the author trying to get across here.
Absolutely.
And when we look at the English Standard Version, for instance, it says, I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book, worship God. Notice again, the emphasis is, I am a fellow servant. He's a fellow servant with whom? With you, John, and what? Your brothers, the prophets. The ESV, I think, makes it very clear here that he's not stating at all, as this Latter-day Saint gentleman implies, that the emphasis is on being a brother of John or a glorified human being.
The New American Standard is very literal with its translation, and it says, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren the prophets and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. In the same way, there's three different.
Now, I have to admit that I was kind of thrown by this because I've not really heard a Mormon ever use this as an argument. So I decided to look up on a program that I have that has thousands of LDS works on it to see if any Mormon leader has ever addressed this and interpreted it that way. And I was surprised. The only reference I could find at all of any Mormon leader referring to Revelation 22, 8, and 9 in this type of a context, or any context at all, was LeGrand Richards, a Mormon apostle who died back in the 1980s. And this is what he says, talking about messengers. He says, and this was a conference message, folks. This was a conference message back in October of 1961. And this is what he said. He said, just think of all the messengers who have come back in the restitution of all things. And he's citing Acts 3:21, and we can spend another program on just how they misinterpret Acts 3:21. But he goes on to say, as Peter promised before Christ can come again. And who were they? Angels. And who are angels? Servants of the Lord. Fellow servants like unto thyself, as the angel said to John when he went to kneel down to worship him. Now again, LeGrand Richards may be referring to the Mormon doctrine of angels being glorified humans when he refers to Acts 3:21, but he's not using Revelation 22:9 as a proof text to support that. He's emphasizing the fellow servants aspect of this verse, which is obviously missed by this gentleman who wrote to correct me on this. Now, I wrote back, I sent him those verses, and I explained to him kindly that he might want to look at this verse a little bit closer. This was his response to me. He said, twist the scriptures all you want, Bill, to fit your faith and your doctrine. Oh, wait a minute. Who's doing that? I'm not doing that. I'm quoting all these other Bible versions to show the plain reading of the text. I've even gone to one of his own leaders, LeGrand Richards, who doesn't seem to be really supporting him in his interpretation. So who was really twisting the scriptures? He goes on to say, but if you rest or twist them, it shall be to your destruction. The angel clearly said, I am of your brethren, the prophets. Now notice what he does, Eric. He leaves out the first part of the sentence, which gives us the context, and he just quotes this little snippet out of the verse, and then he draws a conclusion. This is a danger that a lot of Mormons place themselves in. A lot of Mormons do that, taking this out of context and proof texting these verses and give them an interpretation that the author never meant in the first place. He goes on to say, and there are so many fools and noobs, he loves that word, Eric, noobs that attack Joseph Smith. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Why don't I accept Joseph Smith? Because he doesn't meet the qualifications of a true prophet of God. I don't care where he was born. I don't care where he was born. But the fact is, Joseph Smith does not meet the biblical requirements of a true prophet.
Well,
but that's a side
point. And there are 7 million Mormons today in his own country. That's, I mean, in the United States, there are close
right.
to 7 million. So no prophet is accepted. Well, living here in Utah, he sure is.
Yeah, that's for sure. He goes on to say, and the Bible just proves his doctrine is true, and the Lord's doctrine and the Book of Mormon just clarifies it. Well, again, I don't think he's going to find the Book of Mormon clarifies this particular teaching, but it certainly doesn't clarify it as he assumes. But then he goes on to say this. He says, stubborn people won't admit they are wrong until they are dead, because it's hard to admit you have been wasting your whole life on false doctrine, that is, the Trinity.
How did that come into play?
All of a sudden, wow, here we go again. Now we're going to throw that bomb out there. Now, I'll be quite honest with you, based on this individual's response to me, I don't get the impression that he wants to really have a genuine conversation about these issues. He just wants to name call, and he just wants to show himself to be right and that I'm wrong. But he goes on to say, maybe I'll post an anti-Bills doctrine site. Go ahead, go for it. But then he says, no, I'm mature enough to not attack other Christians. Wait a minute. You just attacked me. You called me names. You say I don't know what I'm talking about. You call me, you imply that I'm a fool. But then you say I'm mature enough to not attack other Christians.
Especially when Alma 530 says that you should not mock a brother.
Right.
It's very clear.
He finishes up, but even Jesus called the Pharisees fools that held on to their false doctrines. I mean, this is sad, and I hope you pray for this gentleman. I certainly am, but unfortunately, this is very typical of some of the responses we get.
Mormons out there can write us emails. We'd love to be able to respond in the same kind of way, in gentleness and respect.
We'd love to hear your questions. If you have any, send them to us. Just go on our website, mrm.org, and then you can just contact us through there.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.